This is Sound and Vision from KEXP in Seattle. I'm Emily Fox.
And I'm John Richards.
On the podcast today, we're going to get the highlights from this year's Iceland Airwaves Music Festival and try to understand why that country seems to have a high concentration of musicians and how the harsh weather inspires their music.
We just kind of love it. Love the misery of it and the darkness and the cold.
But first, let's focus in on the performances that happened at Iceland Airwaves. So, John, you got to travel to Iceland with KEXP for a live broadcast there last month. What were your top three live performances you saw at the festival?
It's a good question. I think we have to start with the very first session that, with the time change was 6 a.m. here in Seattle. Uh-huh. And over there in beautiful, dark Iceland, it was 2 in the afternoon. And I say that because Madame Gandhi got things started and just came out swinging. I mean, she is incredible. Her whole mission, she said, "I'm a drummer whose mission it is to elevate and celebrate the female voice." And she has done that. She is an electronic producer, a drummer, an artist, an activist. She has drummed with MIA, Thievery Corporation, and others. Her activism focuses on female empowerment. And she came out, again, swinging with her dialogue, with her songs. And yeah, I got to be honest with you, Emily, like I was amazing. I loved it. I'm just like, oh man, I just need more of this. And we followed along. You know, you follow along with the YouTube comments, which we don't always do, but we do so in remotes, just so you know, because they'll be the first to tell you if something's going on, like if something breaks.
And that's like our YouTube channel.
Yeah. It's just a good way to like, people will know if the sound's good or whatever. And it's just a good way to track it. And there were so many man baby posts that I was a little sad for.
Where men were a little overwhelmed by how much feminism she was kind of putting forth.
Yeah. The what about me feeling. And it's just, you know, every day is men's day. Like we can take a break, fellas. She was amazing. And there's a lot of things she's saying that we should be listening to. And I personally just loved how just brave and smart and like just talented a musician this person was. She played, I mean, every instrument. She was walking around hitting drums, keyboards, singing, and then she was just perfect in her dialogue, I thought. And what a way to just like set the stage for our Iceland broadcast that early in the morning.
Patriarchy kept stopping me, so I drew a map. Ways to navigate the boys' club, the bros and the fraps. Ways to ease my mind, so I stay fine, cause I can deal with that. And if this degree's in misogyny, you can have it back. Listen, I have even packed on the last trip that I started. I can't even tell you what's the last post that I hearted. Do know it's twofold, if you mansplain, I'm smarter. While I'm here to learn, if you're not self-aware, I'll be calling to the departed, eh? I've been working on myself for a long time, so if you're pushing me around, it's the wrong time.
That was Madame Gandhi here on KEXP. From our Iceland broadcast, it was another incredible week, I thought, of really interesting bands, like, and really different sounding bands. Now Madame Gandhi started off our day one day, and another day we started off with something a little more 6 a.m., and it shows the cinematic, classical side to Iceland. There was a lot of that goes on, and Gabriel Ólafs came on. He is, I think he's 20 now. He's a very young fella. He's more talented now than I ever will be in my entire life, and musically. And he started playing when he was 5 years old. He studied classical and jazz piano, but he steered away from traditional classical music, and he's just became a composer. And he brought in an amazing band. And anytime you can get the strings and his beautiful piano playing, you're in for a treat. And I remember that morning from Iceland, I was hearing from so many people saying, man, this is how you start your day. That was Gabriel Ólafs. He is from Reykjavik. He was live on our Iceland broadcast, and he just put out a debut album, I want to say, this fall. He put that out, and it's really, really good, and it was great to have him on. Now, the opposite of that was the band that blew me away the most, where you're just jaw-dropped, whoa, this band is awesome. And that band is Sons. They came up. I've been warned. They are very good live. They reminded me a bit of Black Rebel Motorcycle Club. Their energy was high octane. The guitars were so loud. The vocals were very cool. Belgian band Sons just brought it.
John, you spent how many days in Iceland for Iceland Airwaves?
That was about a week.
From your just observations, I mean, you were on tour buses with musicians. What were kind of the big takeaways that you got from that trip, just in terms of how Iceland's music industry functions, you know, some issues that maybe musicians are struggling with right now?
Well, there's a lot at play there. I think the first thing at play there is what some of the musicians talk about, and that's the geography. It is a very desolate place at times. It is gorgeous. It is moving when you see some of the landscapes of Iceland, be it we were up in the mountains and we went down in this cave where we had a choir perform live. And I mean, that to me was, there's Iceland. There's just a choir sitting in a cave. And we came out of there and you get to Reykjavik, the city, and it's dark and it is cold. And one of the reasons Seattle music has always been the way that it is, I think, is geography. And it's people in their certain neighborhoods being rained out and having to stay inside and make music. And I think that's a big part of it. So I think part comes from that isolation that Iceland is, you know, tenfold over Seattle being up here. We're isolated, kind of, but Iceland is isolated. So there's that. Then you have the support from the government. So you are supported as a musician. That support allows you to live as a musician. There are some issues there. You know, I talked to one who talked about how some grants are giving to artists, but they usually, at the bigger grants, end up going to more established artists. And in their opinion, it felt like the smaller bands are being left behind. But overall, I think it just comes from a world where you, I don't want to say you take it for granted, but you're used to a world in which you're getting supported. But then the irony of that is what I heard throughout the broadcast and throughout musicians in particular was the economy and just how expensive it is there. And
I mean, like a sandwich will cost someone like $25.
Yeah, it's like it's so expensive. And I was lost in the money because you're paying, you know, $20,000. For a sandwich. And I'm like, what does that come to? And you think it's going to be like, oh, it'll be like $8. Like, no, it's like $25. Oh my gosh. And so the musicians talked a lot about how it's so expensive. And at the same time, they are supported enough just to get by. So there's this rub. You're keeping people there, but they're not able to flourish. On the interesting side and the collaborative side, Mammoet, that band gave us a tour. They didn't just give us a tour. We went on the fly over Reykjavik ride. You know the one down at the waterfront that's like Washington, Wings Over Washington, where you get in the...
It's like a virtual reality ride.
Virtual reality, yeah. Oh my God. I may have had a few beers the night before, so not the best move. But Mammoet and us and a bunch of KXP listeners got on that ride, and we did the whole flyover. It was kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. But then afterwards, the reason we went down there is we're going to have lunch down there and go on this ride. But the other reason is Mammoet showed us it's in an industrial area. And in that industrial area, about 90% of Icelandic music is being made. He said it's very collaborative. He said, but what you don't have is competition. We're all cheering each other on. You're in three or four bands, and that's a good thing. You continue to play music all the time because that's your job. So you're able to be in all these bands. And the non-competitive part of what he told our group when he gave us a little tour really struck me. And that makes sense, like that collaborative nature. Like you have that here. Seattle's pretty famous for it, but not like Iceland. He said, we actually don't have as many musicians as we think here. We just play in so many bands, it just appears that way. It was really fascinating. And the diversity in the music and the support of fellow musicians were the two things that really struck me, let alone the economy stuff that they are dealing with and will be dealing with for quite some time.
So let's dig into this idea of collaboration and the perceived concentration of musicians in Iceland. So Iceland has the population the size of St. Louis, but it does seem to have a well-known music community with big names like Björk, Sigur Rós, and Of Monsters and Men. We're now going to hear from a handful of Icelandic musicians about what makes their music community special, including how the harsh weather impacts their creativity. We spoke with pianist Gabriel Ólafs about this. He says he grew up in kind of this isolated community living about 30 minutes outside of Reykjavik, and he says music helped him get through the brutal winters.
Just living in Iceland, you know, you can maybe play outside a little less than other kids. So you would have to stay inside, and I mean, you have to do something. So and also it gets really dark, you know, the winters get really dark, and you maybe feel, I mean, every Icelander knows this, you maybe feel a bit sad in the winter, because it happens to your body. When there's only darkness, you get kind of sad, you know, or like not sad, more like things are like sort of different for you. So I think those are definitely the things that did influence me and affect me. And I would say music is definitely a way to cope with that.
And I chatted with the keyboardist from the Icelandic band Kaylin Mikla on Sound and Vision recently. She says Iceland's weather has a big impact on musicians' creativity.
It's like living a bipolar, it's like a super bipolar weather and everything. So like in the wintertime, musicians, they go undercover and they're like, they go maybe deep down, even into depression and stuff. And they feel all sorts of things and they start to create and they start to think about things and they can't give anything out because they're like in the dark. But then the summer comes, the eternal summer, and then everything comes out and blossoms. So it's really like you go down and then you go up. Like in Iceland, we don't have like huge record labels or something like this, that like, I don't think that, I never wanted to start a band because I wanted to like make it or something. I wanted to start a band because I wanted to make music. And I think a lot of musicians, they make music, they're not like aiming for the stars, but maybe that happens eventually. So I feel like what is unique with Icelandic music is exactly that we are not aiming to fit some genre that's super in right now. We just make our kind of music.
We also chatted with Icelandic band Sea Bear during Iceland Airwaves this year.
When the birds are sleeping, that's when the trees sing.
Here's what one member had to say about why there are so many musicians and why so many musicians seem to collaborate a lot.
This is kind of maybe just the normal for us growing up here, that everyone collaborates and helps each other out. And I think like there's a little point in competition in Iceland, because the market is so tiny, it's like it's no money to be gained or whatever, so people I think tend to help each other. And if you know someone that plays an instrument or does something that you don't, you can call them and then you maybe like owe them a favor, you could do something else like that. And so I think that's probably one of the reasons why people just help out. And also maybe it's something in our culture that it was just like 60 years ago, it was quite rough living in Iceland, like food-wise and weather-wise. And our grandparents, if we have older grandparents, you know, so they still remember people living in mud huts, kind of. So it's quite, you know, it's not that far away. It's only like two generations where you need to help each other to survive, which is, you know, what a big like part of the like farming and rural community is, you have to help your neighbor. I think like because I've gotten a similar question a lot of times about the like why there's a lot of music in Iceland that's good, and I don't really know the answer to that. But I think like sometimes I think it's also something to do with the size of the scene. Is that it's not really cool to sound like some other band. I mean, some other Icelandic band. So you have to kind of carve out your own identity in this, within this little scene here. And, you know, if there was a band that came out now that sounded like Zeros or something, they would kind of just be dismissed. So I think that's maybe one part of the reason why there's a lot of times interesting stuff going on here.
Musicians Svavar Knútur performed at Iceland Airwaves. His music deals with heavy and dark themes.
So I'll whine and I'll moan and I'll cry on the phone till I finally drive you away.
What jumped out for me was his banter in between songs. I was in pain. I was laughing so hard. And what he said at Icelandic Airwaves is pretty funny.
Iceland is like it dark. We are melancholic, and my mom's from the East Fjords. They are extra melancholic over there. And basically, people from the East Fjords, we breathe in melancholy. It's like oxygen to us. And then we breathe out joy. You're welcome. And basically, if you lock a person from the East Fjords in a room with too much joy, they will just suffocate and die. That's why I have to have a little bit of sadness around me all the time.
I also love this bit about trees.
The next song is about birch trees, and birch trees are rare and beautiful. Trees are rare and beautiful in Iceland. We have not so much of them. Iceland is not exactly famous for its forests. Lush forests of Iceland is not something you read a lot about. The idea of a forest in Iceland is basically 3 to 4 birch trees huddled together for warmth. It's so cold, like 4 Finnish guys in the middle of Helsinki downtown in the middle of the night waiting for a taxi.
KEXP's digital content manager, Dusty Henry, talked with Svavar about how he helps fight deforestation during his tours and why Iceland's music scene is so vibrant and collaborative. He first asks Svavar how he copes with Iceland's brutal seasons through music.
I actually love winter, because it's my family is from these like cold places a lot, like these edge of the map places in Iceland, and we just kind of love it, love the misery of it and the darkness and the cold, and so it's actually quite inspiring to me, just like the feeling. It's hard and it's sometimes not easy to cope with, but it's still, it's so inspiring, and it's so like it does something to your heart, and I a lot of the time I'm just writing to try to describe a beautiful feeling that is maybe not taken for granted, maybe not like always appreciated, like the month of January. So many people hate it and think it's dark and cold and nasty, but it's actually a time of transition from darkness to light. And it reminds me of like the process of grief, you know, and you come out of this hard process feeling much better than before and probably a better person. And the same goes for the month of January, who is like the hardest working of the months, you know, lifting the sun, bringing the light and hope back, you know. I like that. And I think, I don't know, maybe Icelanders have a certain sense of humor that, and a sense of humor is not about being funny, it's just about seeing things in a perspective that is unusual or new. At least, yeah, the humor my mom and dad kind of passed on to me and my family and passed on to me has helped me a lot with how I write and what I appreciate and what I write about.
Do you think it's important to have that balance between this dark and misery that you're working in, and then the humor, like in your music and your live performance? You see that really apparently when you have these really guttural, heart wrenching songs, and then you have this great witty banter in between.
Yeah, I think a sense of humor is the most important feature of a person to just cope with the world, because the world is always throwing you curveballs, and a sense of humor is just the way to handle them, really. And a sense of humor is also a way to find things to write about and to find things to express. And a lot of the times when you have a sense of humor about something, you write about it, other people will say, like, I never saw it that way. And they will be inspired to not feel so bad about something, or to actually see it in a different light that is actually more productive. I don't know. And I think that's more than any kind of pornography about the Icelanders being elves. I think that our dark past, of we had a lot of death and infant mortality, and we had really rough times. 600 years, our population didn't change because of our own internal punishment. We were just punishing ourselves for 600 years somehow. And I think that situation really gave us a sense of humor that is very dark, very harsh, but it also gives us a perspective on things that maybe not everyone shares, and it's useful.
On stage, you kind of joked about Icelanders having trouble sharing their emotions or being charismatic. Has music helped you process and express yourself better?
Yeah, it does. It really does. And also touring has helped me, like just meeting all these people abroad when I'm touring and seeing all these people that I've never, you know, and engaging with other cultures has certainly broadened my horizons and helped me express myself. But Icelanders tend to be pretty closed. But it doesn't mean we don't have the feelings. We have all the feelings. We're just not very good at expressing them. So an angry Icelander and a happy Icelander, it's kind of like trying to tell the moods of a bulldog. You know, like it always has the same expression on his face.
I saw that you made a commitment to touring climate neutral, and you talked a little bit about deforestation in your set today as well. Can you talk a little bit about this move towards climate neutral touring and how that is playing out for you practically?
Yeah, I think artists have a lot of responsibility because so many people are hanging on to every word that we say and listening to our messages. And I don't think shaming is a very productive way of inspiring change, but leading with a good example and motivating people to do good is probably, for me at least, a thing to do. So this last tour, I decided I would run 5 kilometers in every city I was playing and then invite people to join me, just for health and for community, you know, to meet and to have a nice time with my fans that is not in a bar or a, you know, concert hall, like so we can meet like one-on-one, like as people and not as a artist and audience. And then we all pledged €1 to, like, per kilometer, so it's like roughly just over $1 per kilometer run, so that's like let's translate it to miles and dollars, it's like $2 per mile, so we ran 3.5 miles, something like that. And so it was like, yeah, $7, everyone donated to their own forestation cause, like and forest health cause. And but we have to start somewhere. And I thought maybe if artists like me that have 10, 20, 30, 100,000 followers listening to them, and maybe if I can just inspire 100 of my followers, already it's going to affect some change and make for like a positive thing. And if we don't shame and don't, you know, like berate people, but more like inspire people to get together and do healthy things for a positive cause, that's actually awesome, you know.
This seems like work two ways, right? You're helping the environment and you're helping yourself.
Yes, indeed. And I think this tour I actually ran so many times that I offset, I think, all of my former tours in Europe. It was like 25 tours in Europe that I've done, and I think I just did them all in that go. So that was pretty cool. But now next time I'm going to be offsetting someone else's tours or just my vacations.
That's great. That's amazing.
It's easy. It's easy. And it's a wonderful way to connect with people. You know, so I met so many awesome people as we were running. And they told me about their lives. And it's very inspiring, you know.
You performed with a 12-piece band today. And it's amazing to see so many musicians come together. We've seen it throughout the whole festival, too, with other acts as well. Could you talk a little bit about Iceland's music community and how you've engaged with it and how you've experienced it?
Yeah, it's like a family, just a big, big family, extended family, and you have cousins everywhere, you know. And I think we all know about each other. Sometimes we're like cats in a old cat lady's apartment, you know, that when we kind of like sit in our corners and like not look at each other, but then like when we feel threatened we all stick together and help each other out. But like it's the same, but like with more like making music. So a lot of Icelandic artists are, you know, like in their own corners doing their own thing. But then somebody calls me, hey man, would you like to do some project? And they're like, yeah, sure, of course. And like all these guys, they just jumped right on. Like I don't have a band normally. They just jumped on for it and we had fun. And yeah, so it's an amazingly supportive community. Yeah. So in Iceland, like a lot of time, it's hard to live as an artist here. Like it's a rough. It's basically 350,000. It's less than the city of Baltimore, you know. So you have to somehow survive in this community as an artist. That's quite a challenge.
Yeah. You know. Does the Icelandic government give a lot of financial support to artists? I feel like I've read about grants or programs like that.
It does. It does. But it's contentious. Not everyone agrees on this, but it does. There is a lot of support for the arts, but still, like, even if you get all the grants, it's still like you'd probably make more money working on Subway sandwich, like, you know. Right. So it's not like it. It kind of subsidizes sometimes for not for all the artists, but like I think one out of every five artists gets a grant every year. Like, or each year, one out of every five artists is so lucky to get something like this. And that's awesome. Like, it helps us out, like, through the biggest struggles. And Iceland, like, I'm really proud of our cultural policies. But
well, thank you so much for talking to me. I really appreciate you taking the time and looking forward to seeing the material you put out next.
Thanks so much. And I hope you guys enjoy the upcoming winter in Seattle.
Yes, yeah. It's pretty brutal for us, too. Yeah, very lots of similarities there.
Yeah, rain. Good old rain and gray skies. Have you ever noticed that like, gray skies are just like just infinite color palette and a blue sky is the most boring thing you can see?
That was Iceland musician Svavar Knútur speaking with KEXP's Dusty Henry.
You know, you all know that Iceland is a pretty terrible place. The weather is horrible and the people are so introverted that we actually suck ourselves inside ourselves and we become like some kind of emotional black holes. I love Americans and the Europeans, they have such an emotional rainbow, you know, from ultraviolet of joy to infrared of anger. Icelanders are basically dark brown to dark green. That's our little like mud of emotional mud puddle. It comes with its perks. For example, people never know when we want to kill them, which is the same expression. It helps. This next song is about Iceland didn't always suck this bad. It used to be much worse. You should have been here in the 1800s. That was really depressing. So this song is about refugees and people that leave their homes. Not because they hate their country, but because they're going to starve and die otherwise. And it's called Lady Winter.
The snow and stars dance discreetly. A glorious sight in the gloom consumed me completely. And our curse is like the moonlight, and her gaze is like. And her gaze is like the moonlight that drives a man insane. Out the sound rang in a choir of heavenly clangor. And oh, how she sang. And her song was all that I longed for. And her voice is like a river. And her voice is like a river.
that tears your soul apart.
Some of the highlights from KEXP's live broadcast from Iceland Airwaves this year. Meanwhile, KEXP is over in France this week for the Trans Music Hall Festival. We'll get highlights from that festival later this month on the Sound and Vision podcast. And thanks so much for listening this week. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. It lets other people know that this podcast exists. And if you want to go the extra mile, you can give a one-time $20 donation at kexp.org/sound. That's all for now. We'll chat more next week.